Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse on this Saturday morning. I am David Haw here with you until 11 o'clock with Bruce Levine, just like we are every Saturday morning between 9 and 11, 52 weeks a year, talking baseball on The Score and talking to you this morning live from the Hyundai Studios by The Score, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And Bruce, we have had a very wintry week in Chicago. We have had the worst the weather and winter can give us, and yet, the warmth of baseball was very nice to see and feel when pitchers and catchers reported to Arizona Cubs and Sox back in business, back on the field and the diamond. What a welcome sight. Some really fun stuff this week to discuss. Looking forward to the show. How are you this morning, my friend?
I'm doing great, David. And watching the B-roll, you know, the B-roll from both Glendale with the White Sox pitchers and catchers and the Cubs pitchers and catchers from Mesa. That was great. I mean, like you said, 30 inches of snow on the ground, sub-zero weather, and the warmth of a baseball season on the horizon is something to keep you feeling very good. And we feel good about the fact that you are with us on this Saturday morning. We're here for you every Saturday, 9 until 11, talking baseball on The Score. David can be reached as well as I can on our Score phone line and text line at 312-644-6767. We have a couple of great guests for you today. Cody Hoyer of the Chicago White Sox bullpen joining us. John Chambi, the new voice of Cub Baseball on the Marquee Network, joining us as well. Your participation is always important and very much looked forward to.
Absolutely. We can talk baseball for a couple hours. No more Bears quarterback problems. No more Bulls Blackhawks losses from last night. Let's talk baseball. Cubs and White Sox, 312-644-67. You can call, you can text. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Bruce, I think the jumping off point is here this week, as much as it sort of is a newness of every new season, the feeling that that brings. There was some familiarity on both sides of town in both camps in Arizona. In Glendale, they welcomed back Tony La Russa for the first time in a very long time since he had managed since 2011 with the Cardinals, even longer since he has been in a White Sox uniform. And Tony La Russa returns as a manager of the White Sox, and the Cubs welcome back an old friend in Jake Arrieta, who every time you see him, you think of the golden age of Cub baseball, 2015 and 16, when they don't do what they did without Jake Arrieta. Two old faces, kind of familiar personas and strong personalities, both of them. Let's start with La Russa, Bruce, because I think that was created maybe the biggest consternation this offseason. His first few days back, generally speaking, what was the impression that he left with you, and what was going through your mind as you watched him on the B-roll, kind of maneuvering, walking around camp, and saying what he had to say?
Well, I thought it was interesting the first day that La Russa had his camp. He told the White Sox media relations department to have people ready at 4:40 Chicago time, and he will be there to do his Zoom. And 1 hour and 40 minutes later, he walked in. And that was totally on him. He took total responsibility for it, took the media relations department off the hook for having us waiting there for an hour and 40 minutes, and talked a lot about, David, the idea that he had so much detail to go over with his coaches about what they saw the first day, what they want the rest of the camp, how refined they want some of the workouts to be. And this is just with pitchers and catchers in camp. The full squads don't report until the 22nd officially, which will be on Monday. But from that perspective alone, I took a lot out of it other than the hour and 40 minutes I was staring at my computer waiting for him to show up.
That was kind of odd and maybe not the best way to get started for a guy who wanted everybody to give this, you want to give the impression you're ready, you're raring to go, and you know you can tell time, you can be punctual, you can do all the things that you want managers and players to do. I guess that it's going to take a little bit of a while to adjust. We're not going to hold that against him. I guess what I was most struck by, Bruce, you know, and we can get into the inconsistencies with the story about, you know, when did Rick Hahn know what he knew when they hired him, even though we have sort of litigated that in the court of public opinion before, but we can go there if you like. I was more struck by how I feel like Tony La Russa went out of his way to be positive about individual pitchers he was making the rounds to observe, to compliment, to critique. And I think it will take a while before we get used to hearing what he has to say, but there's going to be an adjustment phase. And I think that I don't want to call it awkwardness yet, but I do think that there's going to be some growing pains in how he is perceived and maybe just how he adjusts.
Yeah, I think he laid it all out that first day, and he pretty much said, you know, I'm starting with zero credibility here. As far as the players go, I have to build on that. And he didn't shy away from any of the questions about his previous DUIs and the fact that this isn't the way to start out. So even though it was a second round of questions about that, because he'd already done a Zoom on this before, he didn't shy away. He didn't act like the questions were unfair. He didn't make any faces. I think this is a different communicator than I've seen with the media before. This is a guy that understands the job is so much different now, David, than it was in 1979 when he took over the White Sox and talked to two or three media guys around the cage before the game and three or four after the game, and it was 4 or 5 minutes. These are long productions that Tony is pretty much used to from the time he left the job in 2011 till now, knowing that communication with the fan base and communication with the world out there goes through the media. And this is the only way right now because of the fact of COVID and Zoom calls being the way that people are able to get the information out. So I thought it was pretty refreshing that he was responsive to everything, not acting like this was a big chore to go over and over some of those questions that were asked before.
That was welcome because nobody should diminish the seriousness and the gravity of having two DUI arrests. And I'm glad that he didn't, and I'm glad that he sounded as serious as those charges imply and that they are, because they are. The thing that we talked about all week, you know, with you as well, Bruce, on the Mullen Haw show, is that when this came up, I just don't believe it was anybody's surprise or that anybody has any misunderstanding here. This was a process, the hiring process, that Jerry Reinsdorf took control of. And the fact that Rick Hahn was maybe caught off guard by the revelation of the DUI arrest or the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to hire Tony La Russa in the first place, nobody is going to believe that this was anything but a Jerry Reinsdorf production. And so, you know, the process,
yeah, nor should
the timeline.
They.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Because he's the owner. He's going to do as he wishes, like it or not.
Right. And I think the biggest decision he made prior to this was pretty much overruling his front office a year ago and signing Jose Abreu to a 3-year contract instead of holding firm on two. I think the front office was pretty much saying, hey, look, we're getting a guy that's going toward his middle 30s here. You know, we want to couch that. And Reinsdorf said, no, you know what? I think after 6 years of great production from this guy, we'll give him three. And he stuck to three. So that was his biggest move before hiring La Russa. That's the last time he put his foot down and said, no, I think we should give him three. So and, from that perspective, yeah. That was a good call. Let's see if this one works out the same way.
Let's see if this one works out the same way. It's going to be a while before we get a good feel and sense of that. I think now you're looking at his pedigree, his past, and the fact that he is a Hall of Fame manager. And, Bruce, he did address it directly when he spoke for the first time in a White Sox uniform in many, many years. Here's what he had to say.
Anytime you come to a new ballclub, familiarity is a big issue. A lot of decisions coaching staff makes, including the manager, are based on what you've learned about what a guy can do and what you should try to avoid, right? I also think that most often, I mean, I said a few times, the great fortune to be able to walk into this situation with a club that's ready to win. Here, it's really important to recognize that we got to get better in a hurry as far as the coaching staff and I recognizing what has to be done. The one thing I was impressed with when you watch them in person, talent is real.
Talent is real, Bruce.
We all know that. So does Ricky Renteria. He knows the talent was real as well. And he's sitting this one out.
Yeah, good old number 22, Tony La Russa. He wasn't 22 the first time around, was he, Bruce? He wasn't.
10.
That wasn't. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. So he's number 22. What does that do to the Sox fans' memory of a Scott Pesednik? Doesn't he belong to be the 22 in their hearts and their memories?
Yeah, they should have retired it, right?
I think
Our old friend Harry Tynowitz was the numbers king, and he would tell you not only Tony's number 10, but what he wore as a player in the three or four teams that he had cup of coffees with. But nonetheless, I think the guy is done the right thing up till now. You know, this is a tough beginning here. He answered all those questions like, you know, I think Paul Sullivan, our friend from the Tribune, asked him if he had second thoughts and he thought about resigning after, some of the things occurred as far as, the offseason and this DUI coming out. But he stood there strong and he stood there with great communication. I think that's what I want to see. I think that's what everybody wants to see, a leader out there that understands the role, not only from the perspective of the players and the ownership, but also from the media responsibility to the fan base.
And Bruce, the talent is real, and the talent is in abundance with the White Sox, so much so that Rick Hahn, speaking the language that every White Sox fan wants to hear, said that this is a, in case you missed it, in case you had any questions at all, there was no ambiguity. This is a World Series or bust type of season. This is a season that if the Sox don't win it, they're going to feel disappointed because of the way that they have structured everything. That's why they fired Ricky Renteria. That's why they went out and they got Lance Lynn. That's why they have done everything that they have done this offseason. And frankly, the way I interpret what Rick Hahn had to say as well is that, okay, Jerry Reinsdorf, I know this wasn't a direct appeal, but okay, the owner who got his manager and went out and hijacked the process, if you are in a position where you are contending and you need a piece during the season, you're going to go out. The budget needs to be able to allow it. And now that you are a World Series or bust proposition for 2021, that means spending, if you need to, that goes out and trying to win it all now.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. And I don't think, regardless of the La Russa situation, this diminishes Rick Hahn or Kenny Williams at all and all the things that they've done. I mean, it's not like Jerry is in there telling them what bullpen guys to sign or who should be the coaches at double and triple A. This is Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams production baseball-wise. The owner is there just to be who he is, and he doesn't shy away from saying, at times, I'm going to assert myself because I'm the owner. I mean, I have no problem with that. Maybe some other people do. They want to live in the fantasy world of believing that general managers make all the calls as far as player movement and money. That really doesn't exist out there in the world that we're in as far as sports go.
So while we were welcoming Tony La Russa back on the South Side or in Glendale with the White Sox, over with the Cubs at Sloan Park, they were welcoming back another familiar face. And Jake Arrieta, back good old number 49, he is in Cubs camp, and he was the subject of what Jed Hoyer had to say earlier this week, welcoming Big Jake back when he talked about him on the Bernstein and Rahimi show.
He looked really good in the bullpen he threw for a lot of teams. I was talking to Jake before that, before his workout. He was going to do that, but we were in contact before that. And I think for us, it just confirmed that, you know, there's no question that there's certainly good baseball left for this guy to pitch. You know, obviously his last two seasons with Philly were a little bit injury plagued and, you know, weren't his best. But I don't know, I have a lot of confidence. I think Jake has a lot of confidence in the fact that, you know, he can sort of reach his what his current potential is the best with the Cubs. He's comfortable here. You know, he's trusted these coaches to make adjustments with him. He's trusted these trainers and these strength coaches to make adjustments with him. And I think that matters. Like I said, I think that comfort matters. And I think that, you know what Jake has left and what in terms of, you know, pitching really good baseball, I think the Cubs will maximize that. And I think he felt the same way. And that was why, you know, it felt like a likely reunion, I think, after the first couple of times we talked.
That was Jed Hoyer on with Dan and Layla earlier this week. And Bruce, how much does Jake Arrieta have left, do you think?
Well, I think he's got plenty left. And when I say that, I don't think he's the guy that we saw in 15 and 16. No, but I still think he has pitch ability and the way to get people out without the power slider and the power fastball. He knows how to throw a number of different pitches. He still has a plus fastball. It's not 94, 95, but it's 92, maybe 93 at its best. But this guy brings a lot to the table. And David, what I like most about the signing is he comes here without great expectations from anybody.
Right.
Yes, there are expectations that he pitches up to a certain level, but he doesn't have the expectations that he had going to Philadelphia trying to fulfill a $75 million three-year contract. He doesn't have the expectations of pitching like he did when he was 30 years old. I think he comes here as a veteran pitcher who can bring an awful lot, hopefully on the field, but also off. We saw evidence of that after he threw his side session yesterday by going and watching Edward Alzolay throw his side session. David Ross mentioned in his Zoom how impressed he was that he wanted to go see him pitch and have conversation with him after he threw. And there was some B-roll of him working with Edward about the grip on the ball. So there are a lot of ancillary things that can be a benefit to the Cubs by having Jake Arrieta there. Number one, of course, is he's got to show up and he's got to pitch well.
Is there a bonus in his contract to be the assistant pitching coach to a Tommy Hotovy? Because it looked like he was trying to do that the other day. And Bruce, I just want to point out for the record, 9:18 on Saturday morning, February 20th of 2021, you did take the bait. You used the word pitchability in reference to the Cubs staff. We heard that a lot this week. We're going to continue to hear it because they have a lot of guys who are kind of soft tossers. And Kyle Hendricks talked about the difference. You know, there's velocity, then there's pitchability. Jed Hoyer referenced it. And I think that's something you're going to hear a lot from that staff.
Well, look, yeah, who's the ace? It's Kyle Hendricks. What pitcher personifies that more than Kyle Hendricks in baseball, with what he does with an 87 to 89 mile an hour fastball and being a dominant pitcher, winning an ERA crown a couple of years ago, under 3 ERA last year, third most innings in baseball, Kyle Hendricks last year. So their pitchability is a big deal.
Absolutely.
And nobody personifies it like Kyle.
And we should hear from Kyle Hendricks. He was on earlier this week with Parkins and Spiegel, and I think that is the next direction we will head when we come back. We'll hear from Kyle Hendricks. What did he have to say? Also, Bruce, we've got a big show coming up. We've got Cody Hoyer, the White Sox reliever, at 9:40. Boog Xiaombi at 10. I am David Hall with Bruce Levine inside the clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I position myself well. I think I'm ready to take on a full load again. I know what it's like to go through a full season, so I can lean on that experience. But I just want to be there, be that consistent force for these guys. You know, take the ball every fifth day, and they know what they can get out of me.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, 9 to 11, 52 weeks a year, talking baseball here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm David Hall with Bruce Levine. That was the voice of Kyle Hendricks. He was on earlier this week with the new afternoon show. Parkins and Spiegel had a lot to say. And Bruce, I feel like when David Ross named Craig Kimbrell the closer this week, it was almost as obvious as saying that, okay, Pat Hughes is our play-by-play guy, right? Or this is, who else was it going to be? That was right in front of us to see, and of course that is the case. And I feel like it's even more obvious than when we talk about the ace of the Cubs staff, and that being Kyle Hendricks. And whether or not he has been that guy in previous years, there have been other pitchers, you know, who have emerged. There was Darvish, there was Lester, there was Jake Arrieta before him, but no ambiguity here, no doubt about it. Kyle Hendricks, ace of this staff. He's ready for that challenge.
Yes, he is. And, you know, he just has this, such a calm I would put it just a relaxing way that he goes about his intensity. You know, the name the professor comes naturally because of the way he looks, but also the way he handles himself. He's a very bright guy, as we all know. And, you know, he has just internalized all that he needs to go along with his pitching prowess to get the very best out of who he is and what he does. I mean, when he was acquired, you know, 8 or 9 years ago for Ryan Dempster, you know, nobody thought anything about the guy. I mean, he went to the Cubs minor leagues. He was named the minor league pitcher of the year for the Cubs the 1 year. But, you know, maxing out 87, 88, sometimes 89. Nobody took it very seriously until he came aboard and showed, along with the help from Chris Bosio, his pitching coach at that time, what confidence and paying attention to detail can get you if you're a major league pitcher.
And he has worked through the pitching coaches and kind of always been his best at his own counsel, because he is a guy that doesn't necessarily need a lot of direction. He is a thinking man's pitcher, and, you know, he can be as more impressive than intimidating, as he sort of alluded to this week, because of that, what you said, the pitchability. And he's always going to be that guy that is one step ahead. He's always going to be that guy that confuses with the changeup and the location and pitches his way out of jams. He's on a staff, Bruce, as we know, though, with Zach Davies, with Alec Mills, with these guys who are similar in style, there's going to be this issue of, all right, how does that play when you're having these guys consecutively in a rotation or just throughout a series? And he was asked this week with Parkins and Spiegel on our afternoon show just about the soft tossing maybe tendency that the Cubs rotation has.
You know what? I think we're going to have to intimidate people in the strike zone. You know, when you start breaking bats and when someone is 0 for 3 and they look up and you've only touched 86, you know, it starts to get in their head a little bit. So I think at the end of the day, if we just focus on getting outs and making pitches, that's the name of the game anyway, you know. So it's a good thing for us that velocity doesn't win games. I'm really excited about the group we got, honestly. It's like you said, a bunch of guys that can pitch, change speeds, move the ball around. But we all bring a little something different, you know. So, but at the end of the day, each one of these guys wants to win, and they compete out there. And I've seen that from the other side. So it's just really going to be fun to get to know these guys, learn from them, you know, hopefully build that camaraderie, you know, and have that end goal in mind where we want to be at the end of the year.
That was Kyle Hendricks on earlier this week with Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Good stuff, Bruce.
Yeah, and on top of all of that, you know, the reality here is that when you have – guys that make pitches, and Trevor Williams, one of their new candidates coming over from Pittsburgh as a free agent to vie for a spot in the rotation, talked about this yesterday as well. He said, hey, we are in the major leagues because we've made pitches, because we've shown that we can get people out. And on top of that, David, you're talking about a team that was the best defensive team in the National League last year. They were given the team gold glove by Rawlings last year. And it should be only improved this year, not taking anything away from Schwarber in left field. But, you know, Peterson should be a step up in left field. And you have guys like Marisnik, who is coming in as a late-game replacement to play center and left and fortify the defense when they have a lead in the game. So when you have guys that pitch to contact, you must have a very outstanding defense. The Cubs showed that last year. They need to continue that on.
that's kind of the way they're going to have to win games in series and kind of stay out in front if they can in the division. How they're going to challenge the Cardinals. They're going to do it if they're going to do anything this year on their pitching and their defense. Obviously, there are questions about an offense that remains somewhat broken since we heard Theo Epstein declare that a couple off seasons ago. But if the Cubs are going to ride any momentum this year, it will be created, as you point out. I mean, that defense was something to be proud of last year for them. This pitching staff, you know, they feel like they're overlooked and maybe want to surprise some people, being not intimidated, not, as Kyle Hendricks related, not intimidating with their velocity, but just in how they're able to outthink and outsmart maybe hitters. And that is the way they're going to do this. And I don't know if it's all going to come together, Bruce, but you do feel comfortable and confident that Kyle Hendricks is going to be as consistent as he has been in previous years. Now he just has to have others follow. You know, Zach Davies probably is your more likely number two starter. Alec Mills maybe fits in there in the fourth spot, and Jake Arrieta in between those guys. You just wonder on any given series how the Cubs will plot and plan their rotation to try to vary the approach with velocity and those guys whose strength is the pitchability.
David Ross implied that Jake might be the number two. That's what he thinks the upside for him is in this rotation. So if it's Hendricks one, Arrieta two, and then Davies, you know, and Arrieta is the hardest thrower of the group at around 92. So maybe that breaks it up a little bit more. Not necessarily that Jake is a number two, and the greatest staff that they had, you know, back in 2015 and 16. But nonetheless, for this group, that's the position he might fit in. So, you know, it's all, you know, it's based on premise right now. Getting out of spring training with health in their pitching staff, we don't start talking about the health of major league players until around the third or fourth day of games, and all of a sudden people start dropping off. And you know, the depth is something we've heard Jed Hoyer talk about with his pitching staff. We've heard about it from the White Sox and Rick Hahn as well. The fact that you have to have depth because you're going to have injuries, and you know, that's an inevitability. And whether or not you have that depth or not is going to challenge you to be the best team that you can be or not in your division.
It's a big storyline, and so is the obviously the Cubs' ability or their desire to lock up some of their core players long term. And the other thing I like about Kyle Hendricks is just his overall awareness. He understands, you know, where the Cubs are in their state of development and growth. He understands what this season and frankly this spring training means to the future of this team, and not necessarily on the field, but how they're able to maybe get agreements or have discussions with the core. And the core being now Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, the three big questions that sort of loom over this spring training. And Kyle Hendricks, he's a guy that got paid, Bruce. We remember a couple 2019, he got his four-year, $56 million extension. He is locked up. He is a part of that core. But I appreciated what he had to say when he addressed some of those the situation, some of those questions earlier this week.
It's all in the back of our heads for sure. The position players aren't here yet. I haven't seen a lot of those guys, so you know, I'm sure those conversations will take place. You don't see, you know, you don't get this opportunity in the game very often to play with these level of, you know, players for extended amount of years. It's that guys like Javi, Riz, KB, you know, all the Willie, all these studs we have on in our group, and to be able to keep it together for this long has been unbelievable. So we're so close as a group. We feed off of each other, and I guarantee everybody is thinking, we know where we're at in this process, you know, and with all these new faces showing up. And but our main goal is always the same. We focus on what we have in the clubhouse, and that's what we have to work with. And we know where we want to be at the end of the year. That's always making a long playoff run, you know. So yeah, we're not taking anything for granted. That's for sure. It started, you know, the year before last, probably. That you can't take anything for granted in this game. So we're just really excited to have a lot of guys that are in this group together still, and making one more run at this.
Very aware young man there, Bruce. Kyle Hendricks.
Absolutely. And speaking of aware young men, Cody Hoyer, yes, the White Sox, set to join us after these spots.
When we come back on Inside the Clubhouse, we will talk to the White Sox young reliever, Cody Hoyer. Bruce Levine, I'm David Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am David Hall with Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. And right now we are pleased to go out to our hotline presented by Alpamonte Ford. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Bruce, we have a special guest.
One of the power arms in your Chicago White Sox bullpen, Cody Hoyer, nice enough to join us from Glendale, Arizona on this Saturday morning on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Cody. How are you today?
Morning, Cody.
Good morning. How are you guys? I'm doing well.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks. Hey, when you look around you and you see the additions to this team that were made on an already very good team and a very good bullpen from last year, what were your first thoughts when you saw everybody start to get ready?
Oh, man, just off the top of my head, it's just the talent. It's obvious. You walk around the locker room and the clubhouse and around the field, and there's so much talent on the field. It's really exciting. Got a lot of hard workers, got a lot of guys that have been doing it for a while, and it's an exciting thing to be around.
Cody, last year you were in 21 games, and you were 3-0, and I don't need to recite your statistics to you because I'm sure that they helped you enjoy the off season. But from a Sox fan's perspective, is it okay to be surprised at how quickly you rose through the ranks and contributed to the major league team? Because it would seem that it happened fast, and I wonder if it happened faster than you expected.
I wouldn't say that's how I drew it up, but obviously there's no complaints on my end. I did what I had to do. I got a little lucky with COVID and whatnot. it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't want it any other way. I'm so happy to be on this club and help them ultimately get to a World Series.
Cody, when you look at Kurt Hassler, who's been a constant for you in the bullpen as your bullpen coach there, and now you have a new pitching coach in Ethan Katz, what has he been towards you so far? What has he designed for you? Is it kind of a continuing on from the success you had last year, or has Katz already imparted some different things that he'd like you to do than maybe Don Cooper did before that?
As of right now, we're kind of just building off of where we left off, you know, from last season. Just keep building on my strengths and seeing maybe where I got some weaknesses, and honestly, right now we're just getting real fine tuned. You know, it's early, but we're feeling good, and he's just trying to learn me, and I'm learning him as well.
So you drafted in the sixth round in 2018. You come out of Wichita State, and as we said, you rose through pretty quickly. So there you are last year, and it was an unusual season, and there's no fans in the stands, and there's a lot of things that contributed to the weirdness of what 2020 became. But what was the moment that you realized, oh boy, I'm on a major league mound, this is much different than I've ever experienced before, and this is my welcome to MLB moment?
Well, when we were going through that spring training 2.0 or summer camp or whatever you want to call it, when we were in the stadium in Chicago, in there practicing every day, that was, you know, it kind of started to set in a little bit, and then all of a sudden opening day came around, and I was on the bump for opening day, and it was a little different without fans and all, but I'd say right about then it set in, and I said, we're here. You know, I've been trying to get here my whole life, you know, and it's a dream come true, and it was awesome, man. You know, I want it the other way with fans and all that good stuff, but man, I was pumped. It was really a dream come true.
What has the Liam Hendricks experience been like? I know it's not like the Jimi Hendrix experience, but it does have its own particular psychedelic forms to it. What has it been like? He's such an interesting guy to hear from and talk to. Have you had any time with him yet?
Oh yeah, it's been great. We've been spending the last couple of days together. He keeps everything light. He's a great dude. Works hard. He's an ultra competitor, so it's been cool to be able to, you know, sit down and watch him work and watch him do his thing and see what makes him click. I'm really looking forward to doing a lot more of that, to be honest with you.
So, Cody, you're a young guy. You're a jeans and boots guy from Montana. You come to the big city of Chicago. I know you weren't here for that long, and they were under some very unusual circumstances, but what do you look forward to in terms of adjusting and adapting to the south side of Chicago?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to seeing the city a little bit. You know, we didn't really get to move around and go to the restaurants I wanted to and all that, so hopefully when it gets opened up, I'll get to experience a city like that. But, you know, just from being there, summer was... It was awesome in Chicago, no complaints. I love the city, I love the people, love the field, love everything about it. It was an awesome experience for sure.
What do you feel a bullpen guy's persona has to be? And you know, eventually, you know, you might be a setup man directly, you might be a closer. You had many different roles last year. But from having watched some of the veterans and people like Colome last year, now you'll be able to watch Hendricks and Bummer ascending into one of the top pitchers in the game. What type of mentality, what type of role do you feel you have to fit into as a bullpen guy?
Well, for me, being a bullpen guy, you just got to be really diligent in your work. You know, you got to get to the field and find something to get better at every day, and, you know, really trust in that process because, I mean, you got to be ready to help your team win every day, you know, if possible. You got to have that bulldog mentality, you know, coming out the gate whenever the bullpen phone rings, you're ready to go. And that's really it. You know, it's a little bit different from a starter. You don't have the buildup and all that. Once that bullpen phone rings, you got to ready to go. Go get it. And I like that. That works for me. You know, some guys are different. But for me, when that bullpen phone rings it's go time, then I have an easy time turning it on, you know, coming out the gate. So, yeah.
So you're throwing in the Sox bullpen or a spring training, and you look around, and maybe there to your left is Garrett Crochet, and maybe there to your right is a Michael Kopech, and you guys are throwing heat, and all you guys in that bullpen are, you know, they're full of power arms. How competitive is it, and how much does just being around guys who have maybe similar approaches enhance or your own approach or mindset or mentality? Because I would imagine that you have to take the mound with a certain frame of mind.
That's right. We have so many arms, you know, that with electric stuff. So anytime we got bullpens going on, you know, everybody's watching, you know, everybody wants to see everybody throw, because whether they're throwing 100 or they got other nasty stuff, you know, you want to try to pick their brain and see what makes them click. So it's been cool in that way. But, yeah, I mean, every time I toe the rubber for a bullpen or something, the guy to the left or the right of me, you know, he's throwing just as hard, if not harder, or he's got similar stuff. So, I mean, it's really cool to see. Everybody on the staff is nasty. We got a good chance of showing the world that this year, and it's awesome. I'm excited, and I think Ethan Katz is going to be a great addition for that, and we're only going to go up from here.
Cody Hoyer of the White Sox joining us for just a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David Haugh. I'm Bruce Levine. We're here with you every Saturday, 9 to 11, 52 weeks out of the year, talking Chicago baseball. Cody, when you look at a situation like your bullpen, and you look at some of the things that Kurt Hassler, your bullpen coach, has for you, how much is it all about, okay, we know you guys throw 100. We know that you can command that. What about your off-speed pitch? And how much do you work on other off-speed pitches as far as giving the hitter a different look, even though you're probably only in there for one inning?
I treat my off-speed pitches the same as I would my fastball. I try to work on them just as much. I have to be able to rely on them just as much as my fastball, you know. In the big leagues, you can't just rely on a heater. Whether you throw 100 or not, if it's still going to get hit. You know, these hitters are good. They've seen a lot of pitches. So you got to be able to mix it up and change speeds. And that's one of the big keys of pitching. So I put a lot of emphasis on my off-speed, especially early in the year in spring training. You know, I want to get it dialed in and get that feel right for when the season comes around.
Cody, for a young pitcher such as yourself who's learning the league and wants to be a sponge and soak in as much information as possible, what kind of resource is Yasmani Grandal behind the plate, and how important is he to helping you get educated about the American League and the hitters that you'll be facing?
He's been great. I mean, anytime you have a backstop back there with that much experience and is that smart, it's a great resource to go to every day. Whether I'm just throwing a bullpen and kind of want to pick his brain and see what he sees, or whether I want to talk to him about maybe what a hitter would see that faces me, or anything really. You know, he's done it all for many years. So having a veteran guy like that in my back pocket it's been amazing.
Okay, who's got a better sense of humor and maybe a weird sense of humor than Evan Marshall? And what have you learned about what you might look like 6 or 7 years from now as a baseball lifer like Evan is? Because I know we have him on the show often, and he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Evan's a great dude. You know, I spent a lot of time with him in the bullpen, and he's got a good sense of humor, man. He keeps it light, along with everybody in the bullpen, you know. Other than him, I mean, Liam's pretty funny, man. We got a lot of funny dudes on this team, so to pick out one I think would be unfair.
You know, Cody, right. Liam Hendricks said he wanted the ball every day if possible. I think every reliever wants to have this sort of approach, but his role is defined. He was here and brought here and paid well to be the closer. Other guys have their own roles in mind. Do you, in your mind, have some definition on what you like to do and how often you like to do it, or when you'd like to pitch, and have they shared their plans with you in any way for 2021?
No, as of now, I just want to get the ball as much as possible. I want to be able to help this squad, you know, go as far as possible and play as late as possible. Whatever role that means that I'm doing, I'll do it, man. It doesn't matter to me as long as we're winning. And like you said, yeah, Liam, he came in, get paid to be the closer. He's our guy. And that's sweet, man. All the bullpen's ready to back him up. And it's going to be cool to see how the bullpen plays out in terms of roles. And I'm excited, man.
All eyes are on Tony La Russa in the baseball world, watching him come back after 10 years to manage the White Sox this year. What have you had any moments with Tony yet? And what are your thoughts about his return and being your manager?
You know, I'm excited. We've had a couple quick brief meetings and picked his brain a little bit, and he seems awesome. I'm really excited to continue to work with him throughout spring and throughout the season, man. He's got a lot of experience. He's got everything. So as a young guy, it's awesome to be able to sit down and pick his brain as well.
Cody, we have to let you go, but before we do, I know that you grew up as a kid. At one point, the dream was to become an NFL quarterback. You're coming to a city that needs one. You can still throw the spiral? Could you hit a deep route? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I could still turn it over down the field for sure.
Well, keep that in mind if things don't work out with this baseball thing, but I think the Sox are going to need you this year. Thank you so much, Cody. Best of luck. Look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Cody Hoyer, the fine young White Sox relief pitcher, 23 years old, Bruce, and comes to the Sox, sixth-round draft pick. Boy, was he a revelation last year, a pleasant surprise, and you just wonder if where he fits in. He's 24, excuse me. And he's all of 24. He's a grizzled veteran at this point. He is somebody who I think they're going to come to find is if he has a kind of year again that he did last year. Boy, what a bullpen!
Can you imagine throwing 98 and looking to the left as you pointed out, and looking to the right, and you got guys throwing 101, 102, making your 98 look soft? I mean, that is the luxury of what they have with Crochet on one side, and as you pointed out, with Kopech on the other. That is a loaded arm, and then you have the guys that have pitchability as well, the term we were using all day today, and you know, guys like Marshall and other pitchers in that pen that just know how to get people out.
Fun guy, 6'5", 190, one of those monsters that Liam Hendricks was referring to. That was a fun interview. So, Bruce, we're not done yet. We have another fun interview coming up. Boog Xiaombi next on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.